Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Golf Talk Live. This is, of course, Thursday, October 23rd. Welcome to the program. I've got a great guest for you this evening, Mr. John Hughes, PGA Master Professional and Secretary of the North Florida PGA Section. We'll bring him on here in just a few moments. But let me just remind everybody, of course, the show is live here every Thursday evening here on blogtalkradio.com. Simply visit the link and go up into the search key, and you can type Golf Talk Live, and that'll bring you right here to the network every Thursday here at 6 p.m. Central. Show, as I mentioned, airs every Thursday evening at blogtalkradio.com from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time. We're going to have a little bit shorter show tonight. John is going to be joining me here, as I said, shortly. Again, I'm not scheduling probably for the remainder of the year the Coach's Corner segments. I'm working on some things, and I'll probably bring that back in early in the new year. So for those of you that have been tuning in to Coach's Corner, I want to thank you and hope that you'll continue to tune in. I think you'll find some of the changes be interesting and a little bit more exciting. But appreciate all your support. Don't forget, if you want to call in any time during the live broadcast, you can do so by calling area code 646-716-4667. Again, that number is 646-716-4667. And or you can also email any questions or comments about the program. You can do that directly to me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And if you're somebody in the golf business that maybe would like to come on the program sometime and talk to the audience, you can certainly do so by emailing me there as well at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. Always update the program, of course, on social media, Facebook and Twitter. You can go to Facebook at facebook.com/golftalkliveblog. And while you're there, of course, appreciate it if you'd like the page and follow the program. I always give weekly updates of who's going to be on the show and what's happening every week that the program airs. And also, if you're following me on Twitter, I do the same thing there through Twitter at Ted N. Buck, CEO. CEO, of course, is in capital letters. And appreciate all the new followers that I've gotten here in the last couple of weeks. And thanks, guys, for joining in. Always like to do these shows. And I think that some of the guests that I've had on, certainly all of the guests that I've had on, have had a lot of fun and enjoyed talking with them here on the program, and I certainly enjoyed the Coach's Corner segments of it as well, helping some of you out there with your golf game. And let me just, again, remind everybody, really two ways that you can get into the program. You can certainly on any media device, whether it be iPad or iPhone, or even on your laptop, you can just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/golftalklive. That's the direct link. And every Thursday, of course, the most current program will be at the top. But you can also, if you miss any of the programs, you can scroll down through. There's an on-demand section. So if you've missed any of the programs here in over the last couple of years, you can go back down through the on-demand section and listen to your any of the programs at your leisure. If you had a favorite pro that was on and you missed that segment, you can go through and just it'll give you the date and who was on the show at that time. Or if you're a little bit lazier and you want, you can just type Golf Talk Live in the search key when you go to the link. Just kidding, guys. But thanks for joining me tonight. My guest I actually has been following the program for a little while and has always offered some thoughtful insight and input, and I wanted to offer him an opportunity to come on the show. So let me just tell you a little bit about my guest tonight. Of course, his name is John Hughes, and he's a PGA Master professional. He's an award-winning golf instructor, a clinician, and coach to golfers of all skill levels, as well as an accomplished speaker and author. He's got over 26 years of experience under his belt, and is not only a golf coacher to beginners and intermediates, but also elite juniors and amateurs alike, many mini tour players, major tour winners, and one of only 358 individuals to have earned the designation of PGA Master Professional in instruction. So certainly a well-skilled and well-developed player as well. And without further hesitation, let me bring John onto the program. John, welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate you having me on. It's an honor and pleasure.
Not a problem. John, I know we're a little bit more pressed for time than what we had hoped originally, but not a problem. So I couldn't go through all of your accolades. I'll have to save those for another time when you come on. But certainly a very impressive resume and certainly a great asset to the profession.
Well, thank you. I'm fairly humble. I just go about my business and do what I do. And the things happen to me, I've been very blessed with, and I appreciate the peer recognition and the different clients that have allowed me the trust and honor to help them out as well.
Well, we certainly, as I said, certainly appreciate you sharing some of your thoughts and insight tonight. And John, I know you wanted to come on here and talk a little bit about an upcoming, the North Florida PGA Section 6th Annual Teaching and Coaching Summit's coming up here in just a few days. And I know you wanted to come on and talk a little bit about that. So we'll start that. And also, as I said, I know we're going to be a little bit pressed for time tonight. You've got some things with respect to that that you've got to deal with. So we'll certainly get that out in the forefront. But also, if we have a little bit of time left over, John, I certainly want to talk a little bit about the John Hughes golf business there as well, a little bit, if we've got some time, okay?
Not a problem. As a matter of fact, the summit's tomorrow, and that's the reason for the pressing. But I do have some time and been looking forward to spending some time with you and your listeners. So let's get right to it.
All right, sounds good. Well, you answered the first question. It was is when it was beginning, and obviously I knew it was coming up soon. Where is it being held?
Well, it's being held at Reunion Resort in Orlando, which is the home site for the North Florida PGA section. We've been here a little over 18 months, and it's a fantastic location for golf, for business, for pleasure. And we're very fortunate to be able to use this facility. It's our 6th annual summit. Myself and a couple of other founders started this 6 years ago as an idea to just help our fellow professionals within the North Florida section. And it's grown by not only leaps and bounds from an attendance standpoint of view, it's also grown from a recognition standpoint of view. We've had many other sections come to us and ask us how we do it, how we put it together, and try to copy the model.
Right.
The national headquarters has reached out to us a couple of times with some various ideas that we've consulted with, and we're really honored to feel like we're contributing to the education of our members here, but also being able to influence the education of the 28,000 plus PGA members across America.
Right. If you can, just give us a little bit. I mean, obviously, I know you can't get into all the meat and potatoes, if you will, but just give us a little bit of the idea of what some of the itinerary is going to be this year.
Sure. Well, every year we have a different theme, and that theme is coordinated between myself, the education and instruction committees. And this year's theme, we really don't have a catchphrase that we normally do, but what it boils down to is user experience. We're not necessarily the users. Your listeners are users of us.
Right.
And sometimes we get a little bit out of kilter with that, whether it's we're a little bit over-domineering with numbers from the different technologies, or maybe we're just not communicating enough to potential clients of what we're able to offer and what we're able to provide them, not only from a service, but from a personal, from a very customized standpoint of view. So we've brought in four different entities. We have them in two barrels. One barrel is existing existing platforms, existing resources that any golf professional, PGA or not, already have
right.
at their disposal, and another barrel with emerging platforms, whether it's digital or marketing. And how does that help a PGA professional or a teaching professional grow their business? And in turn, with existing clientele, I think we do a pretty darn good job of that. But
right.
the facts are we're losing the millennial generation, the 22 to 40-year-old, and I think there's a lot of reasons for that. And this summit is hopefully going to address the attendees that come tomorrow with some new ideas, with some factual information as to how to better reach out to that demographic, but at the same time instruct the PGA professional and golf professionals in general as to how to go about better stating the message, communicating what they can provide in and how to differentiate themselves. It's definitely a out of the box topic. When you look on Facebook, when you look on Twitter, there's a ton of discussion, I guess is the best way to say it, about the numbers that come from the flight scope or track plan.
Yeah.
How should we do this and how should we do that? And a lot of the feedback that I see from the various surveys I put out there, as well as National Golf Foundation, the PGA, and the other data collection bodies out there, basically saying, you know what, that could be a turnoff sometimes. That could be
yep.
way too much for
yep.
someone who's just wanting to have just a little bit of fun. So to sort of summarize it, we want to have fun tomorrow. We want our members to have an understanding of what fun is from the user experience, the actual person
right.
who takes the lesson, and how to integrate these platforms to not only enhance their current teaching practice, and I use that term very specifically, but also
right.
grow their practice and reach out to this demographic that we're suffering with.
Right. So what do you want the participants of the summit, and I'm referring to obviously the other fellow teacher professionals that are going to be there with you, what do you want them to take away from this summit? What's the most important thing that you're looking for them to take away?
Well, we always tell everybody to walk away with some type of bullet. We try to provide a very broad reach within the theme and bring in various presenters that can hit different aspects of that theme. And I think the overall bullet we'd like for everyone to go home with is to be a little bit more open-minded with the resources that are open-minded to embrace new technologies and new ways of understanding from a marketing standpoint of view as to how to reach various demographics and how to be a little bit more efficient in their communication. And if they walk away with a general idea and a couple of nuggets that they can take back to their host clubs, their home clubs, and apply to what they do, which in turn, in a positive way, impacts their clientele, then we've achieved our mission with the summit.
Right. And this sort of leads me to the next one is how important, obviously, and I think you've pretty much answered it, but maybe you might want to expand, how important to both the teacher and student is having these summits?
They're critical. It's a continuing education from a professional standpoint of view, but what a lot of people don't realize is that teaching hasn't really changed dramatically over the years. It changes from an evolutionary standpoint of view that technology changes and body composition changes, fitness ideals and workouts change, the mental aspect changes. So these summits provide an open air discussion as well as some presentations of new ideals, new ideas, new thoughts, possibly new methodologies, different ways of having the instructor understand that there is no right or wrong way. There's many ways. And one
right.
of the philosophy that I live by is that there's only a correct way, and it's the correct way of the person that you have in front of you right now. But
mm-hmm.
without information, without a good understanding and grasp of that information and a way to communicate it, sometimes we as golf professionals can do a better job helping our clientele out and engaging more people to play the game. It's all about fun. And
right.
I would tell you that the other thing that we want everyone to walk away with is a very enjoyable time tomorrow. That not only did they learn something, they actually had a fun time doing it, because that translates to the lesson T for no matter whether you're teaching a beginner or a very elite player. If you're not passionate about what you do as an instructor, it's going to show, and it should be, your passion should be contagious. And these summits always tend to re-energize the instructor, put more energy back into their step, and hopefully that does become contagious to the students that they engage with day in, day out.
Do you think, John, just going back just for a second, you know, when you, we talked about, you and I have talked about this, of course, off air a little bit about some of the technology and that, but do you think sometimes that maybe as instructors we get too caught up in the numbers, and I'm talking about with technology, and you touched on that a little bit in the beginning comments, but do you think sometimes we do get caught up in the numbers a little bit too much and lose focus of what really is important?
Well, the losing focus of what's important is that person in front of you who's all they're really searching for is something that will help them enjoy the game more. And from a number standpoint of view, sometimes we do lose sight of that. The technology today by far surpasses anything that we've ever seen, and that's going to continue. The facts are there that in the past 10 years, technology-wise across the board, whether it's golf or computers or tablets or anything you're talking about, medicine in particular, we've had more advancements in technology in the past 10 years than the previous 200 years combined. So it's enthralling. It's very romantic for not only the golf professional, but for the golfer to get wrapped up in these numbers and try to get an understanding of it, when really at the end of the day, it's, can I get the ball in the air? Can I hit it straighter? Can I hit it farther? Sure. Can I make less putts? So really, and to give you a great idea, one of our presenting partners is FlightScope, in my consideration, the best 3D Doppler radar system out there from every angle. They've figured out that it's not about the numbers. The numbers are there for the instructor, which are good, and having a great understanding of those so you can help your student out is fantastic. But a lot of times when a student is looking at this readout on your iPad or your tablet and they see all these numbers, it just looks like a bunch of numbers and that's it. And if you try to explain it to them, you're wasting not necessarily time so much as energy to the improvement process. So they've actually come up with what's called a skills app. You can develop different challenges, different things you can do on the range with people you're not even teaching, and have them go out there and perform. And it's actually a measurement of their performance rather than a measurement of, say, what's the count on this particular blood test. And I know a lot of people will go in and get blood tests, and the doctor never shows you the numbers. They just say, hey, this is what your blood test tells me, and this is where we have to go about correcting the issues that you have so you feel better. And the skills apps and the technology people are catching up to that. They're catching on and realizing that the numbers are for the teachers only so we can help in a diagnostic way to get our clients better. And it's certain that I believe that the technology, all technology out there is starting to figure that out, and they're trying to educate the golf instructor to have the better understanding that if you're going to be able to be in a position to afford this technology, the bottom line hasn't changed throughout the past couple of hundred years of teaching golf. Mm-hmm. It's still about making that golfer better.
Yeah, and you know, that's a great point. You know, the other thing too, John, I think that, you know, we have to keep in mind as instructors, and you know, you're exactly right. The technology is certainly important, and it's there really to help the instructor to sort of analyze what's going on, and then, you know, he or she can sort of filter it through and then relay it, you know, appropriately. But I think something that the instructors also have to keep in mind is they have to understand the basics. As you said, that, you know, for the last couple of hundred years, as a teacher professional, what has been taught and relayed to the students, because, you know, there's going to be a time, you know, when that equipment isn't going to function for some reason, maybe the power's, you know, a little wacky or the batteries are dying down in the equipment or something, which I know doesn't happen that often. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, an instructor cannot rely so heavily on that equipment or that technology to the detriment of him or herself, and to the point where if something happens that technology isn't functioning that particular day, they've got nothing else in their bag, if you will. And I think this is what's happened with some of them, and I think probably more so the younger teaching professionals out there. I think they've started to maybe recognize it now, but earlier on, as you said earlier, they were caught up sort of in the romance of all of this technology, and we're really sort of forgetting the basic fundamentals that the students needed to learn from.
I completely agree, and I'll embellish it by saying that I've always thought of my wife's a nurse. I've been around doctors most of my life due to injuries and such, and I've grown an appreciation for what they do. With all due respect to any doctor listening or anything else going on, I do equate what I do to what they do. I have to have this certain tools to test your blood or listen to your heart or look in your ears or test your reflexes. And if I feel, based on my experience, my education of those basic things, that you need further testing, that's what x-rays are for. That's what CAT scans are for. That's what MRIs are for. So as I'm trying to help a younger instructor understand how to become a better one, there's nothing better than shadowing a good instructor and watching how they communicate and then looking at how they utilize the tools of the trade in a diagnostic way. When I use FlightScope, it's literally my MRI. And I'll tell my students that, you know what, I can't see this right now. Let's get the MRI out. But even that being said, you can't take that MRI out to the golf course. At some point, that golfer's got to be able to feel confident enough to what they've learned and what you've been able to provide them in skill building will provide sustained and consistent results for them out on the golf course, because you can't take it there. And I think that's one of the things that we lose sight on sometimes, that it's not necessarily that we're so dependent upon it. It's can you get your students so dependent upon it where their brains are mush out there without it, and they don't know how to function without it. And there's talk of some tour players that use technology so much they become so robotic and they lose sight of, hey, I've forgotten how to play. And at the end of the day, I'd rather put someone on an MRI to fix their blood or fix their bones, but at the same time, take them out on the golf course and say, hey, this is how you do the rehab. Teach them how to play and teach them the nuances to it, because that in a more holistic way cures the ills. It actually addresses the causes versus treating the symptoms. That I think that's probably more important than anything else, as I'm trying to help instructors out and also trying to help my students out, that I don't care what technology it is, you just can't bring it with you. You've got to learn to survive on your own skills and your own instinct. And I think if we get back to those core roots, that the Hagans, the Henry Cottons, and I can keep listing on and on and on, this is what it was all based on years and years ago. And so long as we use it as a basis and use these other tools just as that, diagnostic tools, we become better instructors, but we become better servants to the clients that we serve.
Yeah, and you know, you raised a great point earlier as well. I think that some of the students out there equally have gotten caught up in it a little bit, and you know, as a result, you know, have become frustrated because they don't know how to process all the information. I mean, it's difficult enough for the instructors to go out and learn all of this stuff. Now they've tried to, you know, articulate to the students. The students don't have the same, you know, time in, if you will, with some of this technology. So they're sort of getting it, you know, as a per lesson basis, whereas the instructors maybe been working with it for a year or more and is quite familiar with the process. Whereas the, you know, a lot of the students aren't. They're only getting it when they you know, connect with you or other instructors. So, you know, it's a lot for them to take in. And I think, you know, sometimes the students get turned off by that. Because really, when you think about it, John, what we're doing is really we're selling. If you look at it from a sales platform, it's a features. And if you imagine golf being as a product, as opposed to maybe more of a service. You know, you're selling really features and benefits. You know, explain to the students out there some of the things that they're going to need to do, and then we're showing them what the benefits are going to be. And I think as long as we sort of stick to that sort of format, I think that the students are going to have a more enjoyable time. But if they're not seeing benefits from what we're showing them or what we're teaching them because we're too caught up in whether it be technology or other things, then the students only become frustrated. And I think they've seen that over the last little bit here in the golf profession. Would you agree?
Absolutely. For the past 10 years, I've run a couple of different high-end golf schools. And within our player profile, I convinced ownership we had to ask a really, really simple question, because we're at some point, some of our instructors were getting just a little bit too obtuse, just a little bit too complicated. And
yep.
A simple question is, why do you play golf?
Mm-hmm.
And over the years and the hundreds of people we served, I've yet to find anybody to answer that question by saying, because I don't want to have fun or because I love complexity. It's actually the opposite. I want to have
right.
fun. I want to enjoy the game, and I want it to be as simple as I can. And with current economics, current just life in general, the social environment that we live in, our time is less. We're more committed to a lot of different things. So the more simple we make the game, the more simple we make the improvement of the game, but more importantly, always keeping in mind that it's about fun. I think you can't go wrong, whether you're a golfer, a golf instructor, a golf course operator, the person selling the clubs at a big box, it really doesn't make a difference. So long as fun is part of the equation, there's a lot of good things that can happen from that. The past 3 days, our North Florida section has been in what we call our yearly planning session. We brought in the various committees, and one of the constant themes behind this as we plan our year for 2015 is how
yep.
can we infuse more fun into the game. And this stretches beyond just instruction. How can we do it at the counter when someone is paying their green fees? And what kind of programs and what kind of things can we do as golf professionals to really enhance and engage our customers, our clients, the people that pay our bills? How can we really have them enjoy themselves and walk away with what I call a wow factor? And
yeah.
when you achieve that, people have fun. And that's something that I've always told the instructors that I've mentored over the years. Think about wow, the W-O-W in big capital mm-hmm. letters. And if it wows you, then it should be wowing the customer. And if it's not wowing you, then maybe it's time for you to reexamine what you're doing so you can put the fun and simplicity back into it. Because the only way wow happens is when it's fun and when it's simple.
Yeah, and I have to kudos to you, John, for working that in, because I know that's part of your philosophy on John Hughes Golf. When I was doing some of my research, of course, I was looking through some of the information on your website, and that's at johnhughesgolf.com, by the way, for you out there listening to the program tonight. But those are really two questions that you really ask a lot of your students, whether they're beginners or even you know, at the beginning stages of lessons. And that is, the first question, of course, you ask is, why do you play golf? And the second question, of course, is, are you having fun? And those are really key questions that we should all be asking, you know, as instructors to all of our students. And throughout, and you also mentioned on your website too, you talk about, you know, asking the question, you know, are you having fun, not just at the beginning, but throughout the process, you know, sort of reaffirming whether the student is having an enjoyable time, because really that's what it's all about. If they're not having fun, they're not going to come back.
Exactly, and it stretches even into the professional ranks. So there's
right.
been many a touring professional that I've not only been able to touch and help, but just talk to. And I would say almost to a person, they'll tell you that they retired from the game because it was no longer fun. This past week, one of my mini tour players was in town. I caddied for him part of the first day. And the last thing I left the person with as they approached the tee box or an approach shot or a putt is, hey, let's have fun making this shot. And making has nothing to do with holding it out. Making is the actual execution of the skill. Let's have fun doing that.
Yeah.
And the little reminder to the person that's trying to make their living on golf, playing golf, and trying to play at the highest levels, it's amazing what that three-letter word does for people. And let's face it, that's less than 0.1% of the total golfing population is trying to literally pay their mortgage or their car payment on every stroke they make.
Yeah.
99.9% are out there hustling and doing the different things that they do, and they've got family commitments and all sorts of other things going on. So when you've got that extra 2 hours to play nine holes or the extra 45 minutes during lunch to maybe hit a few balls or hit a few chips, if it's not fun, point blank, you're just not going to do it. And that's always been a thread for me since, if you ask my parents, they say that may be one of the downfalls I have. But why not have fun? You only live life once. And, you know, sometimes it can maybe get you in a little bit of trouble. But at the end of the day, that's all it's about. Let's have some fun doing this.
Yeah, and you know, and I understand, and it certainly makes great sense, you know, why you've adopted this as your philosophy, really, in golf is, you know, is to have fun. And I think that that's important for all, you know, teachers and coaches out there, that you really have to adapt something as your philosophy. You know, what is your philosophy? And I agree with you. I think having fun is the number one thing that I try to, with the people that I work with, some of the students, you know, as I try to make sure that they're having fun. And I will, you know, throughout the process, as I'm sure you do, I will do the same thing. I'll, you know, pose that question again and say, you know, let's make you know, this an enjoyable, fun experience and not, you know, be so stressed out and or intimidated through the process that it's not a pleasurable experience. Because I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of people, and even in the profession, I'll be honest, John, you know, I've gone around to a lot of different courses over the years, and what I'm starting to see in more recent times is even at the professional level, there's a lot of, you know, teaching pros and whatnot out there that, you know, you can tell within about the first 30 seconds that they're just not having as much fun, whether it's you know, the pressure is getting them to a little bit or trying to stay on top of, you know, the ever-changing technology and whatnot. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but, you know, when you feel that walking into their facility, you know that the students are, you know, if I'm picking up on that, you can bet the students or potential customers are feeling that vibe as well. And that's something that really, I think, has to change. And that's really part of what this summit's about, correct?
Correct. And the way I'd sum up everything you just said is passion is contagious.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting in front of you and I've got this deadpan face and it's obvious, I'm just doing a job, you're going to be less likely to want to come out and do that job with me. When you go take a lesson and I explain 16 million different things in less than 3 minutes and you haven't hit a ball, but yet now you've got all this stuff in your head, what's the obvious thing you're going to say to yourself? Wow, how can this be fun? It's just too much. We had a discussion yesterday and today about rules of golf. Can we make the rules of golf more fun to engage more people to grow the game? I'm not going to stand one way or the other as far as bilateralization of rules, to have two or three different sets of rules, because I think you get into some sticky situations. But I will say this. When I was young and played different sports, the equipment was different. The rules were different. The size of the courts or the fields or whatever it happened to be was different. And the reason for it being different was so I, at a young age, could enjoy it. And at the end of the day, we're all kids, whether you're 6 or 60 or 600. All we really want to do is have some fun.
Yeah, true.
If I've got a 60-year-old out on the tee who's just telling me, wow, this is so depressing, this is so complicated, I'm so annoyed, I'm so frustrated, the first thing I'll do is say, you know, how can I make this more fun for you? What is it that you really want to accomplish that if all we did was this for the next 10 minutes, things would be fun for you. It's a real simple question. It's a real simple direction you can take with anybody, whether it's golf, business, personal life. You know, I'm not a philosopher, but I do know that if someone's not having fun, they're going to change what they do. That's why there's divorce. That's why there's second opinions. That's why there's a lot of things out in the world. And I think if we look at golf for what it is, it's a game. It's a pastime. It's a hobby. But it's also an escape. And how can we enjoy that escape? How can we take that vacation from life for 90 minutes a couple of times a week? Or if you really want to engage it heavily, let's go play 18 holes and have lunch with someone afterwards and spend 4, 5, 6 hours doing it. But the common theme is, you know what, it's a game. At the end of the day, that shot really didn't matter other than bragging rights right now.
Right.
And when you put it in perspective like that, I think we as professionals have a better opportunity to reach, especially the millennials, because that's when you look at what they're doing, they're cramming a lot of stuff in, digital technology, texting, all the different social platforms. It's just absolutely incredible. But I've yet, again, I go back to the player profile, I've yet to ask any of these people, why do you do that? And they say, well, I'm not having fun doing this. You just don't hear that. They do enjoy it. So how can we encourage the real crux to the matter, and I hope some people walk away tomorrow from the summit, is, hey, if I just embrace something, I speak Swahili, they speak another language, can we meet somewhere in the middle, and I adapt some things that you like, maybe you're more willing to adapt some things I like, and then all of a sudden we've got a new convert to the game of golf, and you don't have to drop the ball here. Let's kick it over here and have some fun with it. But at the same time, realize that it is a skill game, and it challenges you, and it's a microcosm of life. And at some point, you got to come up from drowning in the pool of fun and face reality. And golf can do that in a very simple manner if we make it fun.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that's happened here, you know, over the last, as you said, decade or so too, is, and you know, we've obviously talked a little bit about the technology, but I think is also the approach and the receptiveness, if you will, with some of the and I'm not saying this to knock you know, any teacher professionals or anything, but I think sometimes there is sort of an aura of unapproachability. In other words, you know, it's very intimidating for, and I've had students say this to me as well, you know, it's very intimidating, especially as a beginner, you know, to sort of be up in front, you know, even though there might only be the instructor and there might be a few other people downrange or what have you, you know, depending on the setup. But some feel very intimidated because they're, you know, they know their skill level is not very good at this point, and now they're about ready to sort of show all their goods and here in a few seconds. And so it's a very intimidating process. And I think sometimes as instructors, we forget that we're all human. And just because you have a certain skill level, we want people to gravitate to us. We want people to, you know, be like a sponge around us. And I remember growing up as a younger lad and being interested in business and things like that. I always wanted to be around people that I knew had something to offer or something more to offer than what I did. And, you know, when I relate to golf, when I played golf as a youngster, I always wanted to play with people that were better than me because I felt that I could learn from them. But I think sometimes there's kind of that aura that goes around, and a lot of people are very, as I said, intimidated. And we need to find a way to make it not so that way. And I'm, you know, I've got ideas as well, but I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, I've got personal thoughts to it, but a lot of the thoughts we shared the past couple of days, and I hope come out tomorrow, is the use of group clinics, the outings, that type of thing. When it's always fun to be with somebody and discuss things. You know, taking a walk by yourself sometimes can be boring, but as soon as you put that other person beside you and they're walking down the same path with you, not only is it not so boring, all of a sudden you can share in the trials and tribulations and the successes. And that's what group things do from a business standpoint of view for the golf professional. you maximize your time a little bit when you have six or eight people in front of you versus one, and that intimidation factor is now shared by all. If anything, the instructor should be a little bit more intimidated. Hey, I've got six, eight people here.
Right.
I've got to perform. I've got to be able to deliver, because these people are now sort of loose about it. They are getting the vibe that I am warm and inviting, and all these other people are going to share in this experience with you. That's one of the things. How you handle yourself as an instructor, how you handle yourself as a golf facility in general. Are you warm and inviting when you get a good greeting when you drive up, or when you're met at the counter by the person? They're asking about you. They're engaging you. These are all things that our industry's got to look at from many different ways. We've got some opportunities out there with some recent developments and recent good and not so good things that have happened. There's a window of opportunity knocking on our door right now that the entire industry, whether you're a teacher, you're a merchandiser, you're a tournament operator, you're a facility general manager, you're a chef, you're an outside service person. There's some opportunities out there right now that may not come around again for another 30 or 40 years, and you've got to be wide-eyed and bushy-tailed to seize those moments. Make yourself warm and inviting. Show how you can not necessarily be a commodity or even a product so much as, hey, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to make it worth your while and really address what it is that you want to do and what helps it make it fun for you. And I sort of see some things both internally and externally within the industry that's leading me to believe that we may be heading back that way.
Yeah.
It may be a long time before we regain some quote-unquote market share, but I think the game is heading back that way, and it's for all the good reasons and not necessarily the bad ones.
Yeah, and that's certainly, you know, encouraging to hear. And I don't want to, you know, obviously I love, you know, love the game like you do, and I enjoy being a part of it. And obviously, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to sort of bring this show to the table was really to have a discussion within the industry, not just for the general audience to hear, but also for others in the profession. I think that, you know, it's great to get into all these different social media platforms and chatting back and forth, but when you're limited to 140 characters, in some cases like Twitter and some of these others, it's really hard to get into, you know, sort of a meaningful discussion that's going to benefit both the teachers and the players. But also, too, a lot of times things get lost in the translation. I mean, you know yourself, John, from reading some of the things in the different groups, you know, somebody will start off a discussion and it'll go back and forth for a little while. And after a while, you'll start, you know, seeing tempers flare and things like that, because sometimes things get lost in the translation. So, you know, I like to, you know, invite people onto the program to talk about different things and obviously to give them a chance to showcase what it is that they're doing and how they're benefiting, you know, some of the consumers out there. And but I think that's something, too, you know, that I want to see happen. I want to see some change in the industry, and not just from a technology standpoint or from equipment standpoint. I want to see it within the industry to make it a pleasurable experience again. Because I'm being completely honest. I think there is certainly situations out there where it has fallen short, and we need to do something to bring it back up to snuff.
I was given the example earlier today to our instruction committee chair that swing aid manufacturers, whether technologically based or just mechanically based, do a great job selling to their end user, but not necessarily to the ultimate user. The ultimate user is the customer that the instructor is going to say, you know what, this is good for you to use this. This is going to help you with X, Y, and Z. They know that they can sell it to us, and we're going to adapt it, make it our own. The social media platforms, I get every Saturday, my wife and I are big college football fans.
Yep.
We'll go see our respective teams play on TV, and that's typically the time I catch up with a lot of these discussion groups, and I start laughing in the middle of a very serious part of a football game, and everyone's wondering what in the world am I laughing at? And I'm laughing at some of the comments you just made light of. The passion is there. The passion
yeah.
is definitely there, and there are some bruised egos from time to time. Mm. But the one common thread that I see missing is no one in these discussions, whether it's about launch angles or vertical spin axis or whatever the case may be, is talking about UX. Go to Google.
Yep.
Google the capital letters UX. It's a euphemism for user experience.
Yep.
And I'm preaching to the, not necessarily the choir, I'm just hoping a choir comes along and follows me. I want to be the Pied Piper to say, you know what, it's about user experience. And we're
yeah.
not the users, we're the deliverers. Our industry
right.
is the deliverer. And we've got to put ourselves back into the shoes of the user and remember what it's like to be on that side of the cabinet, to be on that side of the T, to be on that side of the course ambassador saying, hey, you're playing too slow.
Yep.
We've got to start remembering that stuff. I was poignantly reminded a couple of different times of when I was an assistant. We had our assistant's chair come in today, and we're trying to get more assistants out to play, and he reminded me that, you know what, sometimes going to play a 2 or 3 day tournament, I got to use vacation time.
Yeah.
And when you grow within the industry, you forget about those things. And I think the industry's grown to the point where we've lost some sight of that. We've
yeah.
just taken some things for granted. We've assumed a lot of things. And that's a recipe for disaster when you start assuming some things. At the end of the day, it's about fun. It's about mm-hmm. having fun with the skills that you own, that you possess, and having fun with the potential that not only you as the user feel you have, but the people that you surround yourself with confirm and acclimate. Yeah, you can get better. Yes, you do have the ability to do this. And it's okay to be honest and say, you know what, you're never going to hit a drive 150 yards anymore. You have X, Y, and Z wrong with you. But let's move the tees up so you can play. And it's an
yep.
equitable game, but it's a fun game too. And I think if we all take that under consideration when we're in these discussion platforms,
mm-hmm.
I think we can grow the game. I think we can grow our businesses because I'll tell you, my wife will comment, my 12-year-old son will comment, my 70-plus-year-old father will comment, hey, what are these guys talking about? And how does this apply to me? And
yeah.
I think as instructors, if we start taking the attitude of, our messages are a direct reflection of not only ourselves, but our entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
We take UX. For everyone out there, remember that term. UX is all about user experience. And when we start embracing that in a very genuine way, a lot of the issues our industry is facing and experiencing right now, I think will take care of themselves.
Yeah, exactly, and I agree 100%, and I think that's, you know, where things need to move back in that direction. John, I know we don't have a great deal of time left because I know you've got to get ready for tomorrow, but I want to ask you this on more of an upswing, if you will. You've obviously built a very solid golf business over the last 26-plus years. What do you feel are some of the key components to your success? I know you're humble, but share that with you. What do you think has made John Hughes Golf successful?
Well, I go back to the word fun. I try to have fun at everything I do every day. I try to learn something new every day. I took education for granted when I was young. I breezed through high school and college. And I had a reinvigoration of education when I entered the PGA program. And it
mm-hmm.
sort of forced me to realize that, you know what, maybe I'm not doing the best I can do.
Right.
I love to give back. This was something to get semi-not so humble. I'm the 2013 Horton Smith Award winner for the PGA, and
mm-hmm.
that recognizes contributions to member and the general golf population's education. And that's, as I was on stage in January accepting the award, I basically said, you know, I was taught at a young age to give back. to not only give back in material ways, but to give back in other ways to help people out, to help them understand
yep.
what their passions may or may not be, and to have them understand what their strengths are. And then the other thing that I think it's difficult to do at times, I'm having to reinvent myself right now. JohnHughesGolf.com is a somewhat new endeavor for me, and I'm out on my own right now and loving every minute of it, but sometimes
right.
it can be difficult. But
sure.
I don't want to call myself the optimist, but I use the analogy of the glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I go about my business and my daily life, I'm not looking to fill the glass, because if you fill the glass, you become content. You sort
yep.
of sit back and say, wow, I've got this full glass. So before my glass ever gets full, what I'm looking to do is find a bigger glass so I can take that smaller glass of liquid, pour it into there. So I'm still looking at a glass half full, and what do I got to do to keep filling that thing up? And
mm-hmm.
I would tell you that's probably my core values, the things that I believe in. And I do a lot of public speaking at the community colleges here in Orlando that specialize in golf education. I've traveled the country doing that. I've given some lectures at universities and such. And I always tell people the story about my son. From the day he broke the womb, I always said, hey, make Dad proud. Well, people
yeah.
do that on a regular occasion. But once he could figure out that he was himself, he was an actual
mm-hmm.
living, breathing entity, and that he had some control of his outcome, I changed that around to make yourself proud.
Right.
And that's something I talk to him every night. Unfortunately, probably the only regret I have is that he's not with me day in, day out. So when I do talk to him and I can sense in his voice, hey, yeah, things aren't going as well as they could, you know, hey, make yourself proud. Do something, no matter how small or how big, that will make yourself proud. Because if you're proud of yourself, not egotistically proud, not braggadocious
yeah.
proud, but just proud that you're doing something positive, that is also contagious. And I think I always try to have people understand that. That's probably me in a summation. I would say that's my bedside manner as a golf instructor. I want to make myself proud. I want you proud of who you are. I want you
yep.
to have fun, and I always want you to feel like, you know what, I left here with a half-full glass, and I know when I come back, I know how to fill it up, and I know how to look for the next glass as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, John, something, too, that I think that you know, people have to understand, and it's not just in the golf profession, but in whatever it is, you know, you're doing in life. You know, I think that you have to quit focusing on, number one, the money. You know, success can be a lot of different things to many people. It really depends on what you have. And I think being humble and just giving of yourself to help other people, I think is can be very rewarding on its own. I think sometimes what's happened in society is I think everybody's sort of looking for that. And I hate to use this term, but, you know, get rich quick, or they want to be a certain notoriety. I think if you do these things that you've suggested here tonight, I think a lot of those things will happen naturally without really as much effort as you would normally think. But I think people have gotten their eye off the ball, if you will, no pun intended to you golfers out there. But, you know, I think people sometimes have gotten their focus away from what's really truly important in life, just as you shared your story about your son. It's really about his happiness, and knowing that he's happy ultimately is going to make you happy, whereas a lot of people go in, well, what's going to make me happy? And they try to change and conform everybody else around them. And I think this is kind of what we've talked about here tonight, what has happened a little bit in the golf industry. It's not so much about the UX out there anymore. It's become more about the me, if you will. And I think we've got to change that. We've got to make it a pleasurable and enjoyable experience for our clients and our those that we're trying to help out there. And I think ultimately once that happens, then we're going to be happier.
I tell you what, you and I are bordering on some of the talking heads out there on AM radio when we get too deep into this discussion. But I can't agree more. But it's you know, I couldn't have said it better. I really can't. But at the same time, you've got to take everything with a grain of salt and realize
sure.
why it's like that and not be too judgmental about it. But understand what you can influence and what you have control over and try not to overextend what you can or can't do. And if you do that, you know what? The world's your pearl. You can make it what you want to make it.
Yeah, exactly. John, just the last few moments here that we've got, because I know you have to get going. If you could share some insight to help your fellow teaching professionals and coaches out there to give their students a little better experience, what would some of that be?
Listening. I think listening is a long-lost art and science.
Yeah.
And the thing that I would say about listening is there's a difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is the actual physicality that goes on in your skull of the sounds and how you interpret the sounds and ultimately how your brain digitizes the sounds, for lack of a better way of saying it. But true listening is when you take those sounds and put a value on it. And the value isn't your own value. It's the person who spoke those words. What's their value? When you can understand the true value of what they're telling you, your listening skills have increased that much more and that much better. That's huge. That is absolutely mm-hmm. huge. I see so many people listening, or at least they're saying they're listening, but they've already got this predetermined notion of what they're going to be providing. And it, sometimes you're good, for your predictive skills are good enough to be able to do it, but other times you miserably fail because you fail to listen. I was influenced long ago when I was 10 years old. I'm going to date myself. I was in punt, pass, and kick. I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina. And for 2 years consecutively, I won punt, pass, and kick in my local age group. And I was very fortunate. I met Lou Holtz. I know he's polarizing. But I learned at a young age, which he still preaches now, don't criticize the performer. Criticize
right.
the performance. And when teachers, instructors, and I believe there's a hierarchy, there's a lot of teachers, there's not as many instructors, and there's very few coaches. Great coaches take listening and understand where to criticize the performance. Now all of a sudden you're building skills without
yep.
touching the emotional values that your student has. And then I'd say, you know what, you quit learning. One of my continued mentors in this business is Craig Shanklin. He's a former Teacher of the Year. He should be a Hall of Fame member. Why he's not, I don't know. He's Bud Colley's instructor. He's 70-plus years old, and he works circles around 20-year-olds, mainly
yep.
because he's passionate. But the other thing he does is he's a constant learner. He's showing up at this summit. He could probably teach the summit tomorrow 16 times over, but he's still there, still taking notes, still contributing, still sharing. And that's a testament to who he is as a coach, not necessarily as a teacher or an instructor. And the young people out there, the second career people, or even the third career people, I think can take a page from his book that you got to wake up every day wanting to learn something and wanting to give back something. And
yeah,
when
yeah.
you do that and are willing to understand that there is no right or wrong way to what we do, there's only correct with the person you're teaching right now, the person you're engaged in right now, if you could put those three things into your toolbox of teaching skills, you know what, you're going to have a really successful career. You're going to have people like you, genuinely like you for who you are, not because of your golf instructor. They're going to find out who you are and what you're about and
right.
what you can do for them beyond just the game of golf. I don't mean to be too esoteric with it and too philosophical about it, but it's certainly been my road to success. I see my mentors doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you look back in the annals of history with golf or any other sport, I tend to see a common theme there. And it's wonderful to see. It's wonderful to pass on. And at the end of the day, when you can go to bed with a smile on your face because you have been able to provide that not only to yourself but to other people, you know, you've chalked up a pretty good day.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things, John, that I like to do, you know, after working with a student is, you know, when we sort of walk off together, what I like to see is a passion or enthusiasm and an excitement about what we've just talked about, and not feeling like they've just, you know, lumped on an extra 100 pounds of weight on their shoulders and sort of have that frustrated and a lot of anxiety. And I think that one of the things that I try to do is, as you've indicated many times throughout the evening tonight, is I want them to have fun. I want them to have an enjoyable experience. I certainly want them to learn and take notes if necessary and process what we've discussed. But I don't want them to feel like they've now just lumped on another burden because, you know, as we talked about earlier, the frustration level gets to a point where it becomes a daunting task and they don't feel like they can accomplish it. I want to always feel like that they're in pursuit of something, but I want them also to feel that it's attainable with the right set of circumstances and a little bit of, you know, hard work. Obviously never hurt anybody, but I don't want them to feel like it's such a daunting task that they're never going to accomplish it, because number one, they're not going to come back, but also it's not going to leave them with a good taste in their mouth, and they're going to be discouraged. And I think that's what's happened a lot, and we want to change that. And I think, as you've indicated, you and I are pretty much on the same page there. And I know that this is what some of the things you're going to be talking about at the summit tomorrow.
Yeah, and I want to give a quick plug for the summit.
Sure.
At Reunion Resort in Orlando. It's the sixth annual, the North Florida PGA section. The North Florida PGA section is the fourth largest in the country of 1,400 PGA members. It's over 600 facilities. We cover if I can outline it visually for someone out
sure.
there, if you close your eyes and imagine the state line between Georgia and Florida, from Tallahassee to Jacksonville, all the way down to Melbourne and across from Sarasota. It's a pretty large geographic area. It's the
yep.
fourth largest population area. Wonderful place to visit, just Florida in general. And we're real fortunate to have four companies that want to come in and share the experience and share their knowledge tomorrow: FlightScope, Moby Coach, Golf MDs, and the PGA Marketing Resource Center, which our dues pay for as PGA members, is going to come in here and I'm hoping put the linchpin we've been missing as far as how to be good salesmen and how to be good marketers, so we can communicate our message better, so we can grow the game, we can grow our instruction practices. And I want to thank everybody publicly for that, as well as the committee and everybody here at Reunion Resort that make all this possible. I just hope I can live one more year and keep doing it and have some fun mm-hmm. doing it. And appreciate you having me on board, and look forward to possibly coming on board again a couple more times. And as I say to everybody, anything I can do to help you and anything I can do to help anyone out there, by all means, contact me. I'm pretty accessible, and I think Ted can attest, if you call me or contact me by 5, you'll hear from me that day, guaranteed.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, it's one thing I can always count on. John, I want to thank you for joining me tonight on Golf Talk Live, and you certainly have an open invitation. I'm definitely going to have you back on many, many more times. And also, I know you've indicated and expressed an interest in jumping in on some future Coach's Corner. I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the program, I'm sort of going to negate that for a little bit as we're getting towards the end of this year, working on some things to make it a little bit more exciting and more advantageous for the new year. But I definitely want to get you into the mix on that as well. I think you have a lot of fun with it. I know the others that have participated have enjoyed it, and I keep getting emails here recently wanting to know when the next one's going to be. So I'm gearing up for that. So be patient for you listening out there. I am going to be coming back with it. I just want to make a few tweaks and changes to the format, and just to make it a little bit more eventful. But John, I want to thank you, and good luck with the summit tomorrow, and I'll have you back, and I'll touch base with you in the next little bit. If you want to get more information about John Hughes and John Hughes Golf, you can visit his website at www.johnhughesgolf.com. And John, thank you for joining me tonight here on Golf Talk Live. Always a pleasure talking with you, and And anytime you want to come back, you just reach out and let me know. And as I said, I'll get you on the coach's corner here. But I appreciate you sharing your insight and your expertise with my audience here tonight.
Well, again, thanks for the pleasure and honor. I really do appreciate it, Ted, what you're doing for the golf community with the outside-the-box views and opinions and thought processes is sorely needed. And anything that I can do to help you with that mission, by all means, call upon me.
Well, I certainly appreciate it, John. And as I've said many times here, you know, there are so many great golf programs out there. You know, certainly, you know, we've got the Golf Channel and things like that. And you know, one of the things that I want to do with this program is not just be another stats guy and just talking about everything that's going on the tour all the time. Not that that's not interesting in that, but there's just too many people out there doing it. I want to do something a little bit differently, and I think some of the discussion that we focused around tonight is discussions that we need to continue having within the industry and within the profession. And I think that it's important, you know, to allow others in this profession to be able to chime in and talk about this. So we're going to have some other panel discussions in future, John, that I'll have you in on as well, separate from the Coach's Corner, of course. But I think that's something that we need to do. And obviously, we want to help the students out there and those listening, help them with their game. So we're going to do that, of course, with some more Coach's Corners coming up in that. But, John, again, thank you. I know you got to go. Appreciate you tuning joining in on the program tonight.
Not a problem. I appreciate the opportunity, Ted. I hope you have a great week.
All right, you two have a great week, and good luck with the summit tomorrow, and look forward to hearing all about it.
Great, thanks. I'll definitely report back.
All right, thanks, John. Have a great evening.
You too.
Okay, again, that was my very special guest, Mr. John Hughes. He's a PGA Master Professional and Secretary of the North Florida PGA Section. And again, if you want to get in touch with John, you can certainly do so through his website at John Hughes, that's H-U-G-H-E-S, golf.com. And I suggest you go and visit his website. He's got a lot of – John has a great philosophy about the game, as we discussed a little bit about tonight. And, you know, he and I certainly think along, I think, the same lines. Really, you know, the goal of most, I think, the instructors out there is really to help you become a better player, and certainly number one priority is to make sure that you have fun. It is a game, of course, and some play it at a different level than others, but ultimately everybody should be out there having fun and enjoying the game, and that's what we want to bring to the table here with this program and with all of the teacher professionals that have been on here. That's really what our ultimate goal is, to make it a more enjoyable and fun experience for everybody out there. So for those of you that are tuning in tonight, if you want to get more information about the PGA Sectional Annual Teaching and Coaching Summit that's taking place tomorrow, I'm sure if you contact John through his website, he can probably get more information on that for those of you that require it. But I want to thank, of course, you, the listeners out there, for tuning in each and every week here on Golf Talk Live. I certainly enjoy doing this program. It's a lot of fun. And it gives me, as John indicated as well earlier in the broadcast, you know, you always want to feel like you're learning something, and I feel that that I'm always learning something by doing these programs. It helps me not only in my profession, but it helps me be a better, well-rounded individual, and anything I can do to make my quality of life better by working with somebody like John and others, then I'm going to certainly give that back tenfold with you listening to the program and those of you that I work with. I want to give also special thanks to a number of people that support the program. Mr. Jonathan Laird, of course, of South Coast Golf Guide. He is the owner and the really a good become a good friend here over the last year or so. And his guide, if you want to get a copy of that, you can go to southcoastgolfguide.com and you can request a copy through there, or you can visit their Facebook page at South Coast Golf Guide as well. Make sure you throw a few likes while you're there. I know that they'll appreciate it, and you can get your hot little hands on a copy through the website as well. Or if you're visiting down here in the southeastern part of the United States, from Texas right over to here in the Emerald Coast in Florida, that includes Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana, of course. If you're in a lot of the courses, much like Shell Landing that we had Kenny Hughes on last week, who was here to talk about Shell Landing, if you go into his course, you can certainly pick up a copy of South Coast Golf Guide as well. A lot of great courses in there. We're going to get more guests coming on in future broadcasts from within the guide to talk about their great courses and let you know about some great golf here in the southeastern part of the United States. And especially as we get into some cooler climates, some of you have probably already made plans to head south to some warmer climate here and to continue to play your golf in the winter months, and we certainly invite you to come on down here. And before you do, make sure you get a copy of the guide, the southcoastgolfguide.com, and you can get that online and get Jonathan and his team to send you out a copy, or you can pick one up when you come down here, of course, but might want to get that ahead of time so you can plan a little bit of your golf excursions while you're before you get down here. So Jonathan, thank you always for your continued support. Of course, Mrs. Meredith Kirk, who is the 2014 Mrs. South Carolina and also entered into the Mrs. USA contest this year. And she's also runs a very successful Meredith Kirk golf business. And I want to thank her for her continued support. And actually, I just reached out to her recently, and she's going to be coming back on the program here shortly. We're just going to firm up a date. Love to have her back on. She's a great asset to the sport as well, great teacher professional, and took some time off. Wanted to do something that she hadn't done before, and she entered into the Mrs. South Carolina contest and actually won, and then continued on through, of course, was automatically enrolled into the Mrs. USA contest that just happened here back in August of this year. Didn't win the contest, but I know she placed very favorably, and know she had a great experience, and of course, a lot of this was not just for her, but she was also doing this to bring awareness for a lot of things that she's working on in the golf industry, particularly in junior golf. And we'll get her to talk a little bit more about that when she comes back on the program. But Meredith, thank you for all your continued support. And my two friends from Down Under, of course, Nikki and Tiffany Litherland. Nikki's going to be coming on the program here hopefully in the next little while. He's making his way back over here to the United States, he and Tiffany. And once they get over here, he's going to come on the program. And certainly thank you for all your continued support. And, of course, Mr. Bernie Pinder from Ontic Golf, great line of custom putters that Bernie makes in his business, Ontic Golf. And you can find out more about that at onticgolf.com. And, of course, Mr. Peter Doyle from Doyle Golf Solutions over in Ireland, thank you for your continued support as well, Peter, with the program. And, of course, Mr. Barry Goldstein. And Carly Rae Goldstein, who we've had on the program here a couple of times. Carly Rae, of course, off at LSU and getting a great education, of course, helping the ladies' golf team there at LSU, and we want to wish them much continued success. And Barry, of course, a great dad and great teacher professional for quite a number of years, been recognized for all of his hard work in the profession. And Barry, certainly want to have you back on the program many, many times. What a great guy and a great great dad and great asset to this sport. I want to remind everybody, of course, every Tuesday morning, the other program that I co-host with none other than LPGA teach professional and professional Cindy Miller, that's going to be airing 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com at the Women of Golf. Make sure that you tune in for that. We unfortunately had to cancel this past Tuesday. The host company, Blog Talk Radio, had some technical issues with their servers, but they've obviously, as we're here tonight, they've been resolved. So we're going to be hopefully getting our guest that we had scheduled this week on this upcoming Tuesday, which was Rosie Jones. So we're just still trying to firm that up. But if not, we'll have, of course, somebody else. But please tune into that program as well. I think women's golf is extremely important, and we want to certainly grow that audience as much as we've grown this one here on Golf Talk Live. And I want to thank you, the audience, as I mentioned earlier, each and every week for tuning in to Golf Talk Live. Certainly appreciate your support. And it's a pleasure and certainly an enjoyment of having a number of highly talented coaches and teaching professionals like John Hughes on the program. Also had a few authors and entrepreneurs that stopped by the show. And it's through their participation and guest appearances that have certainly helped to make Golf Talk Live a first-class show. Again, I want to give a special thanks to my guest tonight, PGA Master Professional John Hughes, and just a great guy, great knowledgeable guy to have on the program and share his thoughts and views with the program. I'm going to cut it short, as I said. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and I will see you back here next Thursday, 6 p.m., Central Time, right here on Golf Talk Live. God bless everybody. Have a great weekend.